This is Edwina Cutwater, a woman who had a plan for the future.
My soul is going to leave my body forever and become one with the universe.
At which time my soul will enter her body.
Ah, good plan.
Enter Roger Cobb, a man whose future was uncertain.
I feel like the healthiest woman alive. Oh!
You see, Edwina Cutwater is now dead and living in Roger Cobb's body.
Edwina died today. Her soul entered me and took over the right half of my body.
You put Edwina back in bone.
Back in bone.
Edwina, back in bone. Go fix bone.
Go fix bone.
Go.
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 Go. Go.
Steve Martin.
I'm talking to a bucket.
Lily Tomlin.
Shall I tap, tap, tap?
Thank you.
All of me.
We obviously have mutual control over our body.
Our body. It's my body. I'm not sharing my body with anyone.
Everybody's going to be real disappointed.
This is It Happened One Year, a look back at the events, big and small, famed and forgotten from.
Hey, everybody.
We're doing it again.
Here we are.
Welcome to the show. It happened 1 year.
Oh, 1984. That's the year.
I'm Joe.
I'm Sarah.
Sometimes I'm not Joe. We have nothing set beyond the first five lines. The four or five lines, that's all we got.
Yeah.
And then it's just flying blind.
Chaos.
Yeah. You're here for the sturdy Sunday night episode. You know, I don't even know what I would say is like the typical time we do the show. Saturday, maybe?
Friday or Saturday. But Saturday is our sweet spot, I think.
It does seem like Friday we're always kind of bitching. Like, yeah, why are Jesus we doing the show Christ on Friday?
I'm so tired.
Yeah, but today we had like all of this time.
We did.
And I think that would be something for the listeners to notice is we would only do like a movie type episode or like the TV show episodes when we have a lot of time.
Yes.
Because it's not like, let's pull something out of the air
that
we are just familiar with already and talk about it. Like, when we did Speed, I think it was very much like, we already knew Speed. I think we watched it, but it was still like, we didn't record it right after we watched
I'm
it.
I'm watching Speed in my head all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Howard Payne.
Yeah.
Howard Payne?
Howard Payne.
Always just right there.
Dee, dee, dee,
the whims of a madman. Always. Piped in. Yeah. You don't have to add the music. I can add the music.
Okay.
But it's fine if you want to. This whole segment is just going to be, you know.
Yeah. My shoe.
Revisiting Speed. My shoe lady. Yeah. So, but this is what we came up with today. So we were just kicking it around. Just, you know, hanging out like a couple of types.
Joe told me not to mention the time of year it was because this is going to come out months from now.
Yeah.
So happy Easter, everybody. we have one more thing we have to do tonight, and that is our advent calendar. So that's where we are.
So I'll tell you at least basically where we are. We like to record ahead of time. We like to have stuff in the
ahead
back
of the game.
Yeah. Just to be prepared. But we did have a lot of time today, and so I handed Sarah a list of movies, and I was like, we could talk about one of these movies.
Yeah.
And a couple things came up, and she was like, not this. Silent Night, Deadly Night,
no.
I think was out.
Supergirl?
I still want to do Supergirl at some point, but I'll admit that movie is not holding up.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we watched Supergirl all the time.
What was the four-hour movie you wanted to do?
Once Upon a Time in America.
Oh,
I don't think we're ever going to do that.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Yeah. I've always meant to watch it. It's actually the kind of thing that it was on Netflix for a long time, and I always meant to like download it and watch it if we had a really long flight.
Oh yeah,
because I know I would like if I watch it in the house 4 hours. I gotta watch it over 3 days, you know. But
yeah, that's tough
on a flight. But then I was like, oh, but what if it's boring? So I never did. But maybe we'll get around to it.
Okay,
who knows? It depends how long this season goes.
Yeah.
But instead, what we chose to watch because it fit that 84 rom-com thing, which is kind of the parameter
you set. I was in a rom-com mood.
Yeah, and it's a tight 93 minutes.
That's what I like.
So we watched a little film called All of Me.
Yep.
I don't know if All of Me is a movie that people still know.
Look, I don't know if this is the right kind of bar to use, but I had never heard of it.
You never heard of that movie?
No.
Because that's what I mean is I think even among Steve Martin movies, I don't know that this is like a really well-known movie. Even though I think it was a pretty big hit in its day and it's a really well-regarded movie.
Yeah.
This was a movie I didn't see until I was older.
And this must have been written to be a Steve Martin movie. Just like all of the physical comedy in it, like that's Steve Martin.
The stuff he has to do is so much like I don't know who they would have gotten to do this.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like Steve Martin is a good actor, and he's a good comedian, but he's a little generic in a lot of ways where you could, like, I could see a lot, like, other people, like, but this is still, like, his early zany career.
Yeah.
But it's just the end of it, right? Yeah. Like, it's just before he starts doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's so tailored to what he can do
that
I can't really imagine anybody else in that part.
Yeah. He is a pretty generic actor, but when he's doing physical comedy, that, like, look, that style is very Steve Martin.
Yeah. I mean, his earlier movies, his other Carl Reiner movies, I think, you know, are very tailored to him. The Jerk is, no one else can be the Jerk.
Yeah.
Can be in that movie.
Yeah.
But I think some of his other movies, I think after a point, you're like, it's a Steve Martin comedy.
Yeah.
But he's not really the same person anymore. You know, just as he aged, he just became a different
kind of... He became Father of the Bride, Steve Martin.
Right. It's just a different kind of, you know, actor. But All of Me isn't that.
Yeah.
So All of Me comes out in 84. And just in a basic context, this was the last of the Steve Martin, Carl Reiner movies.
Oh, okay.
Which there's four of them that came in a run, kind of all in that period.
Interesting.
Movies that I love and that I think are great.
Yeah.
But they were all movies that I had seen a lot more than All of Me, even growing up. Like The Jerk. Because The Jerk is so crazy and it's a zany comedy. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Sure.
Which is a cool bit of editing, and it's a funny movie, but that's that movie where it's all in black and white, and it cuts him in with, like, a bunch of old movie clips.
Oh.
So it's like him with, like, Humphrey Bogart and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie, but it's a triumph of editing more than anything.
Yeah.
And then The Man with Two Brains, which I think is the one most people don't care for, even though I still think it's a pretty funny movie. That's a movie we watched as, like, to death when we were kids, and Kathleen Turner's, like, the bad guy, sort of, and, you know, and it's wild.
Yeah.
And then All of Me.
Yeah, not to come back to my earlier point, but I've heard of The Jerk.
Yeah.
I have not heard of the rest of the movies.
Oh, no?
No.
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 Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, well, I mean, because you're just younger enough.
Yeah.
I think that all of these movies came out before you were born or right when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So Steve Martin, you would think of more like The Father of the Bride, but like Three Amigos or like something like that.
I've never seen Three Amigos.
Oh.
I don't really think of Steve Martin.
You're not sitting around just pondering, like,
sorry, Steve.
Steve Martin.
No, I was trying to think
only
about
Only Murders in the Building. Like it's
what's
just
the, like, Steve Martin movie that I know, or that I know him for, and I don't have an answer to that question.
You can recognize Steve Martin by sight, though.
Oh yeah, I've seen him.
To see him, you're like, oh,
that's Steve Martin.
He has a Steve Martin quality.
Yeah. He's got that gray hair. I mean, it's probably Father of the Bride, I guess, but I don't even know that I've seen that many times.
Have you ever seen a Steve Martin film?
Well, I mean, we just watched All of Me.
Good.
Roxanne. I saw Roxanne a lot, weirdly, when I was a kid.
All right. That's the late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it must have been on HBO a lot when I was a little older.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else was he in?
Parenthood? He's in Parenthood.
I don't think
That was around that. I'm trying to think of movies around that time.
Yeah.
L.A. Story with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Nope.
That didn't come back to you later? With the Sex and the City?
No.
The Pink Panther movies? They were much later.
Oh,
but
yeah. I
he
think
later
we,
did Pink Panther.
Did we see them?
We might have.
Well.
Yeah.
No. Questionable. Did they then redo the Pink Panther movies with somebody else?
They redid the Pink Panther movies with Steve Martin.
Oh, okay.
He's in the later version.
But they're like with the 2000s?
Yeah, and they were in the 2000s.
Yeah.
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 I don't know if there was a... Because the Pink Panther movies, the original run, goes until Peter Sellers died, more or less, in the early 80s.
Oh.
And then there was one or two other ones. There was a Roberto Benigni one.
Yeah.
And there might have been another one. And then the Steve Martin movies were later.
Yeah.
So there's those, Father of the Brides.
Yep.
Bringing Down the House or something? Or Cheaper by the Dozen?
Oh.
No. He made a lot of family comedies later that then I didn't really even see. But no, for me, I mean, Steve Martin was part of that original Saturday Night Live thing where he hosted so much. So that's what I always knew him from as a kid.
Yeah.
And then, but then he was in, you know, we watched The Man with Two Brains a lot. And we watched Three Amigos a pretty good amount. Like, there were things like that, so that I knew him from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I can't think of what would be the thing you would know him from.
Look.
He didn't do a lot of stuff where he wasn't the star.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't appear in a ton of ensemble things.
Sure.
Really.
Unpopular opinion.
Oh, no.
I don't think Steve Martin's that funny.
Oh, my God. Steve Martin is an all-time great. And you're a fool. See, again, I think if you have an appreciation for the early Saturday Night Live like I
did,
there was no one really better than Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Buck Henry, but that's about it. It's a really small list. Like, Steve Martin is so great.
Yeah.
And I think it was really just, I think he's so associated with it, And weirdly, even though he wasn't a cast member, is always just thought of for Saturday Night Live, right? Yeah. And his stand-up, his early stand-up, is so crazy and so good, like, in such a specific kind of way.
He's a little too, I find him sometimes a little too zany for my tastes.
Early Steve Martin, I would believe that, yeah. But it is weird the way his career shifts, where, you know, he hits a certain age and he just kind of stopped doing all of that. Like, he didn't do stand-up after his big stand-up run almost ever. Like, he hosted the Oscars, I think, maybe once or twice. But he didn't do a ton of other stand-up style stuff. We saw Steve Martin in person.
We did. We saw him play the banjo.
In one of his banjo. But, and there were little comedy bits in there.
That was cool.
But yeah. Oh, he's a great banjo player.
Yeah, that's cool as hell. Yeah, very into that.
But no, otherwise, he didn't really continue with that. That stand-up was that really crazy style.
Yeah.
But it only existed for this one little pocket of time. Right. And then Saturday Night Live and those couple movies.
Yeah. You know who I'd compare his stand-up to?
Mm.
Gallagher.
So, what episode was that? Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
You're telling me your list of these are the comedians who are so similar. Andy Kaufman, Gallagher, and Steve Martin.
Yeah, stand by it.
Whew. Boy.
This is Comedy Analysis Corner, folks.
Oh, my God. Literally no one would agree with you. I'm not saying this is something wrong with your tastes. I just think you're evaluating things all wrong.
Okay.
You're just talking about stand-up, though.
Yeah, just stand-up.
I guess if you just take stand-up.
Yeah.
Steve Martin had punchlines. Like, he doesn't have... It's not like Andy Kaufman who's just doing some weird performance art thing.
King Tut thing.
King Tut's great!
No, I mean, I like it, sort of, but, you know.
No, Steve Martin, like, he had a very specific style. His comedy wasn't just set-up punchline comedy.
Yeah.
But it did have punchlines, unlike Andy Kaufman or Gallagher. Gallagher? So, no. Anyway, so All of Me. Can you break down real quick what goes on in All of Me?
Yeah, okay.
Because there were a number of times in this movie where you looked over and just, this is the craziest thing.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But it felt like an 80s movie
to me. It's very much an 80s
movie. Yeah, very much an 80s movie. So Steve Martin's like a lawyer and also a musician, and he's working for a law firm who represents this woman who is, I don't know.
Rich old lady. She's not that old.
Right.
I guess,
That's what I was trying to figure out, like, how old she actually is.
I think Lily Tomlin and Steve Martin are about the same age.
Right.
Yeah.
30s.
She might be a little older than him, but 30s. Not by much. Yeah.
Anyway, she has been sick her whole life. She's dying, and she has this plan that when she dies, this person in her life who
Prakalasa.
No, not
Prakalasa?
No.
Oh.
Her stableman's daughter is going to leave her body, and Lily Tomlin's going to go inhabit the body of the daughter.
Her soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the use of Prakalasa.
Yes.
With the bull.
Yeah, with the bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's this guy, this shaman guy, I guess, and they're going to make that all happen. But when she dies, her soul goes into the bowl, but then someone knocks the bowl, the window falls on Steve Martin's head, and Steve Martin is half Lily Tomlin, half Steve Martin for most of the movie.
Right.
And then they have to get her back in something reasonable, because obviously that's not sustainable.
Right.
And so that's the plot. That's what they're doing.
But zany hijinks ensue.
Oh, so much. So, especially like when, as soon as he started, like half his body was hurt, like I was oh, that's why Steve Martin's in this movie.
Right,
like this was just written for Steve Martin to do that.
And that stretch, I would say, from when he gets hit by the bolt when he gets back in the building is the greatest bit of physical comedy you'll ever see. Like, it's incredible.
It's really good.
And like, and it's so convincing. Like, it's so convincing that there's not even like a moment where you kind of, like, the premise is so nuts that you'd be like, this movie could just slide off the rails. Yeah. They should never remake this.
Yeah.
And that scene just works so well that the whole rest of the movie works.
I don't know.
I think on the basis of that scene.
I think the scene right after that, where he has to go to the bathroom, is like also the greatest thing.
Yeah, because
he's like coaching her through it because his one hand got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the only hand that he has is her hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And when she goes, "Do you want me to tap it?" I'm dying.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yes, please."
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that like the script is sound enough that like their little conversations and stuff, and like their relationship as it builds through the movie.
Yeah.
But like, just when he has to do just physical stuff, the courtroom scene is incredible.
The courtroom scene is the greatest.
Yeah, because then it's like he has fallen asleep inside of their two-person thing, which they've established now as something that can happen.
Yeah.
And then one of them just kind of is the awake one that takes over.
Yeah.
And his lawyer character falls asleep before this trial because he was up all night.
Yeah.
And so then he has to act like the Edwina part of him, the Lily Tomlin part of him, but it's still him, and then he has to act as a man, a manly version of that. And it's so layered and crazy.
It's so great. At one point, he just shoots a snot rocket.
He's just, like, spitting and, like, oh, my God. Like, those scenes, like, and this is the thing about this movie, even before I saw it, yeah. I knew that this was, like, always, like, the critics' movie for him. Like, it was nominated for Golden Globes for whatever that's worth. But he won Best Actor from, like, the New York Film Critics and the National... Like, they thought he was going to get nominated for an Oscar for this movie. Like, that was where this was.
He probably should have.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody gave any kind of awards for comedy in a serious way, he would have. But, I mean, it's just so complicated. The stuff he does is so complicated, but so funny and just works so well.
Yeah.
And it like, and that's the thing is that Lily Tomlin is kind of thankless because she she only appears in mirrors from almost all of the movie, as just when he looks in some reflection, he sees her, so they can have these conversations.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's great; she's Lily Tomlin, but she doesn't have a ton to do.
Yeah.
The whole movie is him
totally
in this wild performance.
Yeah.
So I guess having not seen the other Steve Martin movies, almost at all, this is your favorite Steve Martin movie.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realize this is going to be a problem for the show moving forward, but I don't really like 80s movies.
Yeah, fair. 1984, great. We picked a good year.
Oh, it's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
I don't really like 60s movies either. So
you haven't liked anything we've done since 1994?
94, yeah.
Since Speed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good job. Great. Well, see, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Is I think that you've often said a movie will be the only movie you've ever really seen.
Yeah.
And so that only encompasses three or four movies.
Yeah,
so if we don't do one of those years,
right,
makes it hard.
Yeah.
You said to me the other day, I don't think this was on the show, maybe it was, that Fathom is now becoming, in your mind, a great movie.
Yeah, it has.
And so I think that, like, maybe you just need more exposure. Because I think when we watched Fathom, you weren't like, this is the best movie.
It's the more I think about it, the more we talk about it.
Right.
It's so insane.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gets ingrained in the relationship.
It's almost like going to see an Andy Kaufman show, right? Most entertainment, I think, is like that for me, which is weird. Is that, like, while I'm doing it, I don't really enjoy it. And then afterwards, I'm like, that was great.
Just reflect on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And bet the better it gets.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that being said...
Yeah.
All of me?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't... There's nothing... nothing superlative
it's
in your mind?
It's not like most of the things we watch... I guess it's more TV shows where my immediate evaluation is that it's garbage.
Right. Well, most of the TV shows we've watched for the show haven't been...
Have been garbage. Yeah. No, it's a good movie. So you should see it.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that it's... In some ways, we haven't covered a lot of movies because... I don't really want this, you know, I've never wanted this to be that kind of thing. The TV shows we do are very specific to episodes, and so it's like we can at least kind of talk about those shows a little bit, and most of them are stuff we haven't seen.
Yeah.
I think, you know, but I think 84 has a lot of interesting movies, and a lot of movies I really like, and good movies, but it's like, how do we talk about them?
Yeah.
What are we really trying to say?
Yeah.
I think All of Me does feel, it has that very 80s kind of thing to it where, like, villains are always, like, rich people, like, and that just was the staple thing in the 80s, and, like, Edwina's not exactly the villain, but she's certainly not the sympathetic person for most of the movie, until you start to really get into the whole, you know, their split thing happens fairly early, but even beyond that.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, that setting. It was almost like everything in the 80s was, like, to get people to... like, forgive rich people. So, like, rich people are often villains, but then they often have some sort of redemption.
Yeah.
And is that just Reaganomics, 80s era? Like, what is that?
Maybe.
Like, you know?
I also feel like something specific to 80s movies is the crazy supernatural thing that happens, and everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like, when he has a musician friend who's blind, who he talks to a lot during the movie and ends up playing a pretty important part in the plot. But when he pulls up to him, like, right after they get conjoined or whatever, and he go and he, you know, like, his blind friend can tell there's something going on, and he's like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, this woman died and she inhabited my body. And he was like, cool. And he makes a joke, like, oh, thank you for not committing me. But, like, no one is like, this is weird. And at the end, where her body keeps jumping to different things, or they think her body is jumping to different things, and everyone's like, just like, Edwina's in the bucket. Everyone then just
her soul
agrees Edwina's in the bucket.
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's no question. There's nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think by that point, like, they're more or less the characters who know about that are all have had proof that this is a real thing.
Yeah.
But up until that point in the movie, like, they're not telling everybody because I think he keeps saying he thinks he's going to get fired and everybody's going to think he's crazy.
Yeah.
The courtroom scene, like, they don't tell anybody that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it is very much just, like, such a high concept idea.
Yeah.
And they just kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that it works, again, I think because of how committed Steve Martin is.
Oh, totally.
And really, like, the way that they've structured the rest of the characters. Like, yeah. You know, the girl that she's supposed to jump into the body of, she's got all of these kind of ulterior motives as the movie goes along and stuff. But she clearly didn't buy it and then, you know, is, like, comes around to this idea.
Yeah.
Prakalasa is such a crazy, you know, zany, one-off kind of character. And it's such a very quintessential 80s character.
Yeah, very much.
Where he's just, like, a goofy voice and, you know, but he's funny.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, you know, wacky.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that together does create a pretty sturdy 80s comedy. But why isn't this movie better known? Like, even inside of Steve Martin movies, I think it might be because the movie's a little sad.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little more weight to it as the movie goes along. Something I never noticed before, but a moment that I really liked was after as the movie progresses and, like, they start pulling her soul out of him to try to get it into somebody else, because, like, that's the whole purpose of the end of the movie in a lot of ways. The first time that happens, which I think is when she gets into the bucket, right?
Yeah.
There's a moment where he looks in the mirror
and
he sees himself and he is a little sad.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's such a great little nothing moment. Yeah. But you're like, oh, like, you know, and it says so much about how they've managed to thread this story through this movie, where it starts out like, you know, this very physical, crazy comedy, and then they become friends and whatever. But, like, by that point, you're like, oh my God, like, you know, this is, it's such a throwaway little thing. But
what I did think was weird, and spoiler alert, listeners, you've had 40 years to see it, so we're just gonna tell you how it is. But what felt weird to me was, like, the fact that they kind of start to have a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
When, like, he was sad that she wasn't in his body anymore, and then her soul jumps to the daughter's body, like, was originally planned, but it goes a little differently than I expected to, right? But then it kind of implies that they're together at the end, and that
kind
seems
of
weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say exactly, because they don't have romantic chemistry. I think they're good together comedically.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no real part where they're trying to make them a romantic couple, even though the whole movie is kind of considered a romantic comedy. It's hard to say that it really
is.
It's
not, yeah.
But even that ending, like, I don't think that that's a passionate ending.
Yeah.
You know, I think the ending, the credits, is great.
The credits are amazing.
Like, it's such a fun moment.
Yeah.
And I want to say in the set of 400, this movie was in the set of 400.
Oh, was it?
I'm pretty sure. Wow. It's a Hyatt movie, but it was in there somewhere.
Should you tell the listeners may not all know what the set of 400 is?
I don't know if I've really mentioned it on the show before, but before the pandemic, I've got this blog, like you do. And it was before I had a podcast. I had a blog where I talked about things. But in the blog, I came up with this idea to write up posts for, like, my 400 favorite movies. Because I had that kind of time on my hands. And so I ranked all these movies and did all these write-ups. It's at knowinglyundersold.com, I believe. It's a blog, but I'm pretty sure I bought that domain name. I think so. So it's somewhere in there. But when I was writing that, I was trying to come up with, like, even how to talk about movies there was very much just like, these are my favorite movies, and, like, you know, positive stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I even said something about how the ending is just so much fun.
Yeah.
That you come out of it, you come out of the movie feeling like it's a much more fun movie than maybe it even is.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Because it's fun. It's funny.
So,
but it does have a heavy, like, that third act gets kind of heavy, you know?
So listeners, that at the end, like, it's, you know, she's gone into the daughter's body. So it's the actress who plays the daughter and Steve Martin. Mm. And they, like,
who they later got married.
Really?
Yeah, it's Victoria Tennant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were married for, like, 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good for them. So they, like, you know, she's Lily Tomlin's character, but she's in this other body, and they, like, go, they're talking, and they go, and there's, like, music playing, and he asks her to dance.
Because the whole movie, she just keeps saying, because she's this bedridden, you know, her whole life, and how sad she is, because, like, she never got to do anything in her life.
Yeah.
But she mentions she wants to dance a bunch of times in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And so he asks her to dance, and then they start to dance, and the camera pans over to a mirror. So it's Lily Tomlin now, and then not the other actress. And they dance in this, like, wacky, like, really crazy. It's so joyful.
Like, people who are just, like, discovering dancing for the first time, but it's, like, it's just 2 minutes of just pure joy.
Yeah,
it's just
they fall over at the end. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. And I really, I've always really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
As, like, it's a great ending for this type of movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, otherwise it would just be like, what, they're going to kiss and the movie ends? Like, it'd be weird.
Right.
Because, to your point, like, it doesn't feel like that's even something that should be happening.
Yeah.
And that dancing is the same way. Like, it's not a romantic thing. You could just kind of take it either way. Like, maybe they're just kind of pals, you know?
And she, like, kisses him a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems real awkward.
But it's even for, as almost as, like, a joke. Like, it doesn't feel, they're not, like, passionately kissing. No. They're just sort of like kissing. And it's like, it's just kind of fun. Like,
yeah, it's so fun.
But yeah, I'd say if there's a criticism of the plot, the fact that that's kind of shoehorned in anyway is a little awkward, but I almost feel like you don't come out of it with that because it doesn't really feel like it's part of it. It's just kind of like something that maybe has gone on.
They're not like, I love you.
Right. Yeah. There's not like a deep emotion there. No. Like, it's really like he's trying to expose her to stuff sort of like as even as the movie goes along.
Yeah. And even she keeps saying like, you're the only friend I ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's when the movie kind of turns into like they actually like each other. Which, I mean, it had to happen, but like the fact that that's where the plot goes.
Yeah.
And then there's all these complications to like, how are we going to solve this problem? Yeah. But I think the plot really works well. Like, I don't think that a lot of times this type of movie, the concept is so high concept, so complicated that it almost doesn't matter what the plot is. For this movie, the plot actually really works. Totally. Like, and it really does, you know, it hits a lot of nice beats. Like, it really works really well.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I actually think this is the best of the Steve Martin, Carl Reiner movies, even though I think these are a lot of semi-classics and classics.
Yeah.
The Jerk is great, but The Jerk is so crazy that like that plot doesn't matter at all. Like, it's just so wild, you know? The Jerk is the... I mean, The Jerk, again, The Jerk is pound for pound a much funnier movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, The Jerk starts with, I was born a poor black child.
Oh, that's right!
And it goes from that point on. And it's just insanity, like, you know. And so I would say it's a much funnier movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it holds together as a particularly good movie. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is a lot of fun, but that plot is at the whim of whatever, like, clips they could get. The Man with Two Brains is insane. And like, that has sort of the same, like, third act problem. They didn't know how to end it, so they just kind of, like, you know. So this one, I think, actually really works overall as a movie.
Yeah, and it's very sweet.
Right, it's a really, in a lot of ways, it's a really nice movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get too carried away with itself. Even though there are, like, wild parts of it, it makes sense inside the story. It's not crazy gags for just the sake of a laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's a scene where he's trying to hook up with a girl, and she's in his head, and so he keeps going to the bathroom to talk to her, and he tells her to fantasize, and then when he comes back and he's got, she's got the whole cast of Gone with the Wind humping in my head. I was dying.
Yeah.
Because she's just thinking about Clark Gable with his shirt off.
Right.
And he was like, throw some women in there.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Olivia. Olivian.
He just starts, oh, Butterfly. He's just naming with the Wind.
It was really good.
So, you know, that's the thing is, I don't even know what you would say, like, is the most famous Steve Martin movie. I still, again, think of Steve Martin with Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And now, like, Only Murders in the Building is popular. Yeah. I don't know. Is any streaming show, like, such a popular show that everybody's like, oh, that's what I would think of, right?
I
think it's pretty popular.
Yeah, but, I think it. But, I mean, it also has Martin Short in it. That's the thing with even, like, The Three Amigos is a pretty popular Steve Martin movie, but it's got, you know, other famous
Chevy.
People.
Chevy.
Yeah. Chevy, thank you.
Yeah.
IMDb says he's known for Roxanne.
Really? Roxanne?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. I mean, Roxanne's great. I haven't seen Roxanne in a long time, but, like, I wouldn't know what's the thing you would point to. Like, I think his most successful movie was Father of the Bride, but, like, by that point, it's such a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, money-wise.
Yeah. He was the doctor in Baby Mama. That's obviously not a big deal, but remember he was, like...
Baby Mama.
The Amy Poehler...
I know the movie, but I don't remember... No. I guess he did start doing littler parts in later years.
Oh, he was in, what was that called? Little Shop of Horrors.
He's great in Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah, that is a pretty small part, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not scrolling through the IMDb while I'm doing this. It's in something called Bringing Down the House, which I believe you already mentioned.
That's a Queen Latifah film, yeah.
Well, oh, Bowfinger.
Oh, my God, I love Bowfinger. Yeah. But see, like, Bowfinger wasn't a hit. And, like, that, so I don't think that's a movie a lot of people would point to as, like, they're like, I love Bowfinger, but a lot of that is also Eddie Murphy so good in Bowfinger.
Yeah.
So,
Sergeant Bilko?
No.
No?
The remake of the old Sergeant Bilko TV
show?
Good?
No,
it's not. Okay. That's not it.
My Blue Heaven, I believe.
I love My Blue Heaven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, but again, I don't know if that's a big hit.
Oh, obviously, the best Steve Martin movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, yeah.
Planes,
Trains, and Automobiles.
That's the best one.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
And it's a holiday movie.
Yeah.
So it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
You know, so let's say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Would you think of that as a Steve Martin movie?
Yeah.
Or is that a John Candy movie?
That's tough.
You know?
It's tough.
Steve Martin's great in that
movie.
But, like, John Candy's so great in that movie. You know, it's almost the same problem.
I do think that's a well-balanced movie, though.
Yeah.
Like,
they both have a ton of great stuff in that movie.
That scene where he yells at him, like, I can't even talk about it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I mean, but that's the thing. I think of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, as funny as that movie is, as a very hard, touching movie.
Yeah.
In a couple moments. The end is so sad. Like, there's so much of that is, like, just such a heart-rending kind of movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think this... But, see, figure that's 87. So, like, that's starting, like... He started to do more and more serious things.
Yeah.
And, like, you could see, like, he was a really good actor, besides just a really good comedian.
Yeah.
In the 90s, he was in a movie called The Spanish Prisoner, which is, like, a serious mystery movie. And, like, again, there was a lot of buzz, like, he was, like, going to get nominated or win awards for that. And I think he was always on the edge of that.
Yeah.
And just never quite found the right thing. Like, how Bill Murray was always, like, everybody knew he was a great actor, but he was always just doing comedies. And then it was, like, he was always, like... Is he gonna, and then he did Rushmore, and then that kind of put it over. Like, he still never was, like, winning Oscars, but at least then he was always,
he's done some serious stuff, right?
Right, like, he always then had those kind of parts.
Yeah.
And, like, and it was something worth paying attention to. It wasn't like
he had to
break through in some way. Yeah. And I just don't think Steve Martin ever quite got that part.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that part was, you know?
I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Steve Martin, and even though she got a little swallowed up in this movie, I do not want to leave this episode... without doing some breakdown of Lily Tomlin's career as well.
No, I mean, Lily Tomlin, you could make a case, is much more important to women in comedy than Steve Martin is for men in comedy.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, the Lily Tomlin stuff in the 70s, and, like, the characters she would create, and were so great, and she was so great. But again, like, I think it's kind of like, what would you point to as, like, the Lily Tomlin thing? For me, it's Nashville, but there's 30 main characters in Nashville. You know, she's great in Nashville, but, like, what's the thing you would point to with Lily Tomlin? Like, 9 to 5?
9 to 5, yeah.
And even that's kind of ensemble-y, you know?
It's like, totally ensemble-y.
Yeah.
But she's very good in it.
But I do wonder, like, what do people know her from? Like, because her, like, specials and things, I can't believe those still have a life 50 years later, you know?
I mean, just the fact that she is still, like, so active.
And still doing it.
And, like,
80 for Brady.
Grace and Frankie was on for, like...
A couple years.
For, like, 7 years.
Oh, wow.
It was on... There are 90... There are 100 episodes of it. Almost 100.
Oh, wow.
That show's on, but she was in 80 for Brady. She has a movie from last year with Jane Fonda. Like, they're just doing stuff together constantly.
And she's got to be, what, 85?
Oh, she's got to be.
She's been around for a long time.
Lily Tomlin was born the day before your birthday in 1939. So she's 84. Yeah,
wow.
And she's still acting. Like,
doing good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
80 for Brady was great.
Okay.
I love that movie.
But, like, when I was a kid, she was on Sesame Street a lot, right? Or she was on some kids thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Remember the girl in the big chair?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember what that was from. Was that Sesame Street?
I don't know. I gotta go back.
But that, and she played the telephone operator.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought those were characters from her specials that then just ended up on children's television somehow.
I think that's true.
You know? Because it seemed like she was, again, just, like, somebody you always knew.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly why.
I don't know. Edith Ann was the little girl, right?
Right.
I don't know. She was Ernestine the operator in something called The Electric Company.
That's a kid show.
It was on Ronan Martin. That's what she was on.
Oh,
she was on Laugh-In.
Yeah. I saw a lot of reruns of Laugh-In when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, The Electric Company is a kid show, so maybe that just kind of bled over.
Yeah. Yeah. But she did Edith Ann and Ernestine on Laugh-In, too.
Okay.
And then her first movie is Nashville.
Right.
Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And even Nashville, like, that was... I think I might have told this story before, just I think it's really kind of fascinating. But she was supposed to be in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She was supposed to play Nurse Ratched.
That's right.
And then her and Louise Fletcher just ended up switching parts.
Yeah.
Because Louise Fletcher was supposed to be in Nashville. And that's why that character's children... in the movie are deaf is because Louise Fletcher had deaf parents.
Yeah.
And, like, so that's still, like, a remnant of the old thing.
That's funny.
But no, when I was a kid, we watched The Incredible Shrinking Woman a lot because it was, like, a fun effects movie.
Sure.
From, like, I don't know, 81 or 82.
Yeah.
And so, like, I knew her from that, but I don't think anybody's watching that movie anymore. So I don't know. Like, I just don't know what people know, why people know her now.
Yeah, still. You were right. She did Edith Ann and The Operator on Sesame Street in 14 episodes.
Yeah.
She was on, but I think what you forget is she was on 46 episodes of Murphy Brown.
I mean, look, I'm not forgetting it.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin's great. Yeah. That's not the greatest stretch of Murphy Brown.
No,
I'm a big Murphy Brown fan, but that wasn't the best time on that.
She was in one of my mom's favorite movies, The Kid.
She's in The Kid?
She is.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
I don't even have a dog? That movie.
I grow up to be a loser.
Sarah's mom will often reference, like, if we're sitting around talking about movies.
Yeah.
And she just wants to find a way to jump in. She'll mention one of like four movies.
Yeah.
Name those movies.
It's The Kid.
Yeah. It's called Disney's The Kid. Charlie Chaplin's The Kid. I believe is why it's titled that
different.
Way. Yeah.
They're different. I get it.
Yeah.
The Glenn Miller story.
The Glenn Miller's her favorite movie, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
The Glenn Miller story with Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor. She loves Pearl Harbor. Harbor.
The Michael Bay classic Pearl Harbor.
Is there a fourth one that you have in mind? Those are the three that come to mind for me.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that was
yeah.
it. Yeah. I thought I had something else there, but yeah. But that's it. Like, it'll yeah. literally like, oh, you know what I really like, though? The Glenn Miller story. And like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah. I mean, not to, you know, I just think that, you know, settled into a conversation. This is just what it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's good to know what she likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, okay, look, the thing that I know and love Lily Tomlin for is the classic Christmas episode of The X-Files. That's the best thing she's
Which
ever
is
done.
Called...
The Ghost That Stole Christmas.
The Ghost That Stole Christmas. Her and Ed Asner.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So when we get around to Christmas time, we're always looking for, you know, stuff to watch mm-hmm. and be like, and one thing we always kind of default to watching just in general is The X-Files. Now, the problem is The X-Files don't have a ton of great Christmas episodes because it's not that kind of show.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, Cheers would have Christmas episodes or whatever. Friends has Christmas episodes, right? So The X-Files only has this one episode, which is a pretty cool episode, but we've just watched it a lot.
That's not technically true. There are two other Christmas episodes.
There's one called Christmas Carol, which I don't think is very Christmassy, though. We never watch it.
Well, it's set on Christmas.
Yeah, but is it Christmassy?
Kind of. Like, the last scene is, like, it's on Christmas Day, it happens, but it's the one where Scully finds out that she... that someone has created a child with her, and then so she finds the child, she tries to adopt the child, before she's able to, the child dies. It's not a very
not
uplifting
a real Christmassy.
Two-parter Christmas Carol and Emily.
I think that's why we don't watch it.
Yeah, oh no,
two-parter
it's too sad.
And not fun.
It's sad.
Yeah.
The Ghost That Stole Christmas is...
At least it's pretty fun.
A classic piece of television.
Yeah.
It's maybe one of the best single episodes of television ever created,
God.
I would say.
If I had to rank my top 20 X-Files episodes, I don't think Ghost of Stole Christmas.
That's insane.
Ghost of Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
That's in your top 20?
Definitely.
Come on.
Definitely.
All right. I mean, Ed Asner is great.
Right.
And Lily Tomlin's great.
She's great.
That's a really good...
Yeah.
And there's only them and Mulder and Scully. That's not a wide-ranging episode,
no.
So it's locked in.
It's great.
In this crazy funhouse episode.
The halls are decked, and I gotta go. She does not go. They go to the house. That's what happens.
Really strong. Right.
Really good.
So fair. The Kid.
Yeah.
That one episode of The X-Files.
Yeah.
The bad stretch of Murphy Brown. You know,
but how
hell
about,
of a career.
How about this? We can't say this for you, and right now I can't remember why, but I have seen both of these people in person.
Both of what people?
I saw Steve Martin. We saw Steve Martin, and I saw Lily Tomlin.
We also saw Ed Asner. I didn't see Lily Tomlin because I had to go home. I was like, it was right after I moved to Chicago. And I bought tickets for it.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't in town. I had to go back to Scranton for some reason. And that's why you went without me.
I did.
And Lily Tomlin doesn't do a ton of live shows, so have not gotten the opportunity again.
No. I went with my friend Rachel, who also likes The X-Files.
Your X-Files friend.
My X-Files friend.
Yeah.
That's why I brought.
Internet Rachel.
Yep.
Yeah. Internet Rachel's not listening.
We just call her Rachel now.
It's your friend from the internet, who you then met in real life.
Okay, why are you exposing me on the podcast?
So look, 2008 was a weird time. The X-Files were back. There was a second movie. You want to talk about forgotten projects? Not a lot of people are going to be like, oh, the second X-Files movie. That was some.
That movie was great.
But, you know, you have to reach out to the community.
You do.
And in 2008, that community was on the internet. That was where the people were.
Shut up.
You brought it up.
Oh, my God.
Nah. So I don't want to discount Lily Tomlin's contribution. Lily Tomlin's great in this movie.
She's great.
But, again, she doesn't have a ton of stuff to do. Alexa, stop.
That's our advent calendar.
Yeah. No, I'm going to cut that out.
Oh, no, you should leave it.
Well, now this sounds great. But no, she doesn't get a ton to do.
Yeah.
Like, and I think even like Richard Libertini, who plays Procolossa.
Oh, sure.
He ends up with like a fair amount of stuff. The judge at the trial, while I wouldn't say it's a better part, it is played by the guy from Teen Wolf.
Oh, my God.
Who tries to sell him beer. Gonna need to see some ID. Sport.
Just because he's in Teen Wolf doesn't mean he's better in this movie.
See, I think of the cast of Teen Wolf as the greatest movie stars we've ever created.
That's not
the
true.
The world has produced. So it's when I see them in anything else, I'm like, oh, guy was in Teen Wolf.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm aware.
There's a part in The Great Muppet Caper,
Jesus.
Which was a good 4 years before, which I as a kid, I would have seen these two movies, Teen Wolf, Great Muppet Caper,
sure.
all the time. Right?
Yeah.
The guy who plays the coach, Bobby Finstock, in... Teen Wolf is also the guy throwing the Muppets out of the plane in The Great Muppet Caper. And I just never put that together as a kid.
How about I know you well enough that I couldn't remember who it was in Teen Wolf, but I'm like, this is about the guy who throws him out the plane. It's about the guy that throws him out the plane.
The plane lands in Italy. You land in England. Throws them out the That's the guy.
In the pond.
Yeah, right. They list places to park your carcasses. You know what? We're going to still do the Muppet Steak Manhattan at some point on this show. I guess that's about it. Do you have any parting remarks on All of Me? So I realize it's hard because you're not a fan of movies from, I'm going to guess now, before 1994. So do you think this works, or is it too 80s for people for people like you? People like you.
Look, why is that so sinister? Yeah. Look, I'm never going to pick this movie up and watch it just for kicks. Fair. If I've got 2 hours on my hands and I've got to pick a movie to watch, it's Speed, period. There's no...
But let's face it, if you got 2 hours to watch, you're going to kind of watch three episodes of a TV show.
Yeah, totally.
But while you're looking at your phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's much more my vibe. But if I have to watch a movie...
Yeah.
It's Speed or Twister. Like, there's no even...
These are the only movies you watch. So you're not actually that dissimilar to your mom, we've learned. Your mom's only seen three movies. And you can only name two. Then the one movie that you would claim is the only movie you've ever really seen, The Phantom Thread.
The Phantom Thread.
Which you don't ever watch.
No.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then... When you're watching The Phantom Thread, you're watching a movie.
Right.
And that's different from everything
else.
Can't
be doing anything else.
Yeah, you've got to be focused.
Yeah.
I've actually only seen The Phantom Thread in theaters, I think.
Pretty sure that's true.
Own it, but I don't think I've ever watched it at home.
Yeah.
And that's because it must be observed in a theater in order to be fully absorbed.
Yeah,
like, it is just, it is a genre unto itself.
As movies.
Movies.
Yeah.
Everything else is garbage.
Right.
Including my favorite movies, Speed and Twister.
Yeah. Well, in comparison.
By comparison.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is that I think at some point you might see the Music Box or somewhere do like a Paul Thomas Anderson retrospective.
Fingers crossed.
So I think seeing The Phantom Thread in theaters again, possible.
Every year that passes that I don't see The Phantom Thread in theaters, I feel like the culture part of me crumbles a little bit more.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, it's fair. Because you're too busy watching, you know, your old TV show.
Old TV shows.
And then TV shows that I can't weigh in on because I don't watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's watching Ozark? What are you doing?
It's great.
I know. People like it, but I can't imagine really sitting down and just choosing
It's really good.
Most of the shows you watch, I can't imagine, like... Me, like, if I had to watch a new show, picking any of it. I just can't imagine picking a show to watch that has, like, more than 8 episodes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it just sounds like such a big commitment.
No, look, I think Ozark is critically on the top end of shows I watch.
Yeah.
I also do watch The Morning Show, which nobody likes. But I do enjoy.
Okay.
It's very entertaining.
That's all you're trying to get out of entertainment.
I feel like I've watched a lot of
Succession.
I watched all of Succession.
Yeah.
Succession's great. Everybody loves Succession.
Yeah.
And it really made me feel like part of the zeitgeist, which you missed out on.
Yeah,
and it was really hard because all this funny memes and stuff came up about Succession. And I can't talk to you about
it. I'm out of it.
And that's very frustrating to me.
I'm out of the loop.
Because I want to make Tom Wamsgam's jokes with you.
Don't know what that means. Don't know who that is. Don't know what that means. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. If you wanted to make Tom Wopat jokes... I'm there for that, because I got old references.
Look, I want you to understand the line, you can't make a tomlet without breaking a few Gregs. I want you to understand that, but you don't.
Don't
and know. It is devastating to
me. I don't know what that means.
I watched The Crown. I watched The Great.
Yeah.
Both very good.
Okay.
The Great was amazing. I actually think you would really like The Great.
I've seen bits of it. I've seen bits of all of this, but nothing of it has compelled me to go back and watch all of it.
No, you would enjoy The Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, it seems pretty funny.
Yeah.
But no, where am I right now? I'm not watching much. I don't have a lot of shows going.
No.
I did finally watch all of that 2019 Christmas Carol. It's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
It's fine. But at least it was short. You know, it wasn't 30 episodes. You know.
It's tough.
See, and this is the fundamental difference between us, is that whereas when Sarah has time, she watches TV shows.
Yeah.
When I have time, I watch movies.
It's true.
And to a lesser degree, wrestling from 1999. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's the extent of what I'm like, oh, I should watch a movie. Oh, I'm too tired. Let's throw wrestling on real quick.
And I feel like my wrestling, well, most of what I watch, scripted television, my version of wrestling is the Kardashians.
You're still watching the Kardashians?
No, I'm not caught up.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I will pick up an episode here and there.
You used to watch a lot of Teen Mom. That's pretty. I did. That's pretty.
I had to like stop recording Teen Mom because the episodes, the seasons, there were so many, there were like two or three different versions.
Yeah.
And they would just overlap each other.
So, you couldn't follow anything.
No, I could follow all of it, but it was only, there was always new Teen Mom.
So they just kept introducing more characters.
They just kept doing it. Or it was just the same, it was like three different groups and they would just rotate seasons. And I was finally like, I can't spend this much time.
Yeah, that is a lot.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that's the equivalent. Yeah. I'd say we're on the same footing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Good job.
Yeah.
At least we're cutting down on some garbage. It's just, let's enjoy what we can enjoy.
Yeah, right? I agree.
We
don't yuck anybody's yums here.
We're just trying to enjoy things.
Whatever you like.
Everything's worth watching. Enjoy what you like.
Yeah. If you meet friends on the internet, just be safe about it. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe don't take them to see Lily Tomlin in person if you have any other options. That girl, she was a nice girl.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
So I would say, because I'm a fan, if you haven't seen All of Me, if it's been the kind of thing like you've heard of it and you've always meant to watch it, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, the performances are great.
Yeah. It's a
really strong movie, but really it is a very 80s style comedy. But I think it's actively funny. I don't think it's like admirably a comedy. You know what I mean? Like watching an old thing that you're just like, I guess objectively this is funny, but it's not, you're not laughing. I think All of Me is a pretty funny
movie. It's very entertaining for the courtroom scene and the end credits alone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solid. So that's my recommendation. Yeah. So far this year, Splash and All of Me. That's all we've gotten.
Whew.
We got to get some more movies in here.
Yeah,
there's so many movies to see. And, high end stuff, but also, Star Trek III. What we're going to skip the search for Spock?
Can we do an episode where you watch the movie
and
I comment on your opinions of the movie without having seen it?
I mean, I guess. I don't know if that's entertaining for the listeners. And it's also not that dissimilar from a lot of the conversations we just had. So, really, garbage. Sarah's eyes.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how All of Me goes. That's that old song. All of Me. Why don't you take all... That's what the movie's named after. Go.
There's also a John Legend song called All of Me, if you would prefer to sing that.
No.
Oh.
I don't know that either. Hmm. How's that go?
I'm not saying it.
No, but how's it go?
No. It's like, all of me, all of you, all your situations, all your situations. I don't know the words.
Yeah, but that's the melody?
That's the melody.
It's not familiar.
Yeah. All
right.
You know it to hear it.
You know what? Maybe Shazam some of those, folks. Get yourself a couple All of Me's on the old playlist. We don't need to keep singing. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Did you just end with an all right?
I did.
All right.
It was good.
Somebody's had enough. Okay.
You can get that if you want.
No, I want to leave it.
Jesus Christ. Are you going to leave it and then leave us laughing about it?
All of it. This is the episode's just going to be an extra 2 minutes of us just...
I forgot on a podcast for a second.
Okay.
All right. Go away.